All right. Let's do this. You're still in your coat. Look at me.
I am.
I'm freezing, but I am representing.
I love the heat on for you.
I did feel warm when I walked in. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Compared to outside? No surprise.
Compared to the 1 degree. It was one when I pulled in.
It was zero on mine. I'll have coffee, sure.
I'm all set. Thank you so much. I got champagne coming. Are you kidding me? Pickled eggs. Oh, pickled eggs and champagne, my favorite.
And pickled sausage.
Welcome to the Combat Radio Network. This is Three Men and a Microphone, recorded inside the Iron Mike Studio, located in the Military Exchange on Route 332 in Canandaigua. Three Men and a Microphone is an opinion show based on the ins and outs, the news, politics, and scuttlebutt about town and the city of Canandaigua. Beautiful, historical Canandaigua, New York, where the hops grow higher, the grapes grow sweeter, and the sun always shines. In conjunction with 1310 AM, Canandaigua. Three men and a microphone, all the way from Rochester to Geneva, New York. I am your host, Corporal Tim Thornton, and this is Three Men and a Microphone. And we'll be right back after these messages. My whoopee, you swept me off my feet and put into my heart such fiery heat. At first sight, I would not have known the kind of warmth and protection I'd be shown. You've helped me through the good and bad for being issued. You, I am so glad. You are my warmth and soulmate, and we both know it is fate. Forever I will hold you tight. Because of you, I know I'll never be cold. I am yours and you are mine. Forever and ever, we'll be just fine. The American-made military issue poncho liner. Available in assorted colors. Also with the USGI poncho to make a ranger bag. My whoopee. On sale now at Iron Mike's Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Good morning and welcome to Canandaigua 1310, Three Men and a Microphone, and that girl.
This girl.
And that guy, Mike Yarger. And we're also our videographer, Melissa Walker, and our co-host, Tina Bloom. And we are here on Three Men and a Microphone with all the Canandaigua news. And it's cold. It's damn cold.
It is downright toasty. 1 degree. I think it's 3 in here. So, I mean, you're killing it, man.
I got to find the space heater for you.
I will sit on it.
You need to get one of those caterpillars.
Yeah. You know we have?
What's
I mean,
that?
I could do it. Apparently, over there, somebody dragged in pilot seat warmers for pilots.
Oh,
really?
So it's the weirdest thing. It's a canvas wrapped metal box, and you put a heat tab in it and light it and then sit on it. And I know a heat tab is super hot.
How long does it last?
It's like blue heat hot. As long as the tablet?
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. Isn't so it's got to last for a 2-hour show.
Maybe.
One would think, one would hope.
If you're a pilot out there and you know how to really work the seat warmers.
Or a co-host.
Call me.
That's perfect. I'm in.
Now we're live on Facebook Live, and we already had someone throw a question to us.
Suggestion, yeah. So they were saying that 2017 in review and 2018 predictions, let's roll with it. So I said, that's what we're going to do. That was the plan. So I think Mike and I have it covered. I think we have some additional topics to discuss, but it's been a slow news week between Christmas and New Year's.
Okay.
How was everybody's Christmas?
Mine was good.
Yeah? Yeah.
You were asking about food.
I was asking about food, but also, Mike, tell us what your favorite gift was. You were telling me when we first walked in, and I was completely amazed.
Okay. So my favorite gift was from my son, Mark, and he found a website that it's apparently a subscription website, but you can get every game, every video game that ever existed, pretty much. I mean, Ms. Pac-Man, Heroes of Might and Magic is one that I used to play for years, but I couldn't play them anymore because when you upgrade your computers, you can't get the old games to work on them.
Right.
So this allows you to go in and play all these old games that, you know, you may have even forgot about. Wolfenstein 3D was a funny one because it's one that I played when my kids were real little. And they used to watch me play, and they got scared. And so they never played the game themselves.
Now, is Wolfenstein like a hybrid between a wolf and Frankenstein?
It's actually a story about a guy who's breaking out of a prison in Nazi Germany. So he has to go around and shoot all these Nazis and things of this nature.
Okay.
And eventually escape prison is the hope.
Well, it's very Christmassy.
Oh, yeah.
It puts me right in the spirit.
But I'm telling you, it turns out that since Christmas, I've been playing all these video games, and then they come out with a story this week about how video games are addicting. And
so you've been down in your basement, and your wife's been like, Mike,
right,
come on.
Right.
Yeah, like you're the 18-year-old living in the basement. Tim, what was your favorite Christmas gift? Not to put you on the spot.
Favorite gift was I got a workbench. And I've wanted to get back into that, you know, make something, repair something thing for a decade. And when I moved, we didn't have one. It's a long story. But now there's a sort of a spot for me in the basement.
Okay.
Sort of. And it's okay. And I'll probably really go down there and do some work. But they have these goat steps. It's an old city house. And you can't put your whole foot on these steps. You have to walk.
You call them goat steps?
Yeah.
Goats could walk on these steps.
Right. Aww. So right, goats have very small feet compared to humans.
I believe they have hooves.
Hooves, so okay.
You got to walk sideways all the way down gingerly, and then you're in the basement.
I can see you doing that. Oh. And your ballet slippers.
Well, the wife says, you know, don't you want to help with laundry? No, it's downstairs.
Right.
My workout equipment is downstairs.
Wow.
It was a great idea, but I don't feel like going goat stepping. So
his first job with his new workbench will be to make new stairs.
I was just going to ask, what's
I don't think
project?
There's enough room. You know how it slants down and it goes to the cement. But anyways, I'll have a workbench, and I'm going to work on a super project that's unique to the world.
Oh, well, I'm nervous.
I create things, and when I get done with this one, it will be new. I found one guy who got close, but I will create something totally new in concept.
Okay. Just prototype.
I do that all the time. But that decal on that shirt, nobody's put that combination together.
The skull?
The Marine Corps Semper Fi skull with the red, crimson red, and royal blue colors. Oh, there's lots of skulls, and there's the Punisher, and there's Semper Fi.
What is this Punisher thing? I don't mean to take you off on a tangent, but...
So Punisher is a TV series with one of the guys who died sort of early in the series of zombies, Walking Dead.
Oh, I used to watch Walking Dead. Okay.
And it goes back further. There's comic books, there's movies, but now it's... Zane? What's his name? Anyways, in The Walking Dead, he was a tough guy.
Okay.
So now he's this, like... beat-up Marine veteran who's walks with a limp, but he's the Punisher. He's super good at shooting and killing. And
is he the guy with the buzz cut, the old guy? He's got, like, a southern accent?
No.
It wasn't that guy? That's
no,
the
it was the
thinking.
Evil one with the that was willing to kill his best friend.
I thought that was what I'm thinking of. I could be way off. It's been a while
black
since
hair.
I've seen it. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But anyways, good movie, but the Punisher punishes. So the Punisher logo, which we sell Punisher rubber Velcro patches that guys put on their uniform and then go out and play airsoft. You can see my face. You know, I like that stuff, Warriors. But it's all good. And anyway, so I do skulls. But I always like to make original stuff.
Neat. So you're going to be making new stuff.
I find it funny that you call the people who play airsoft Warriors.
I had to reiterate that, didn't you?
Well, because
there goes my sales.
To me, they're future warriors. I mean, most of those are young men who may have a future in the military.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, that's my opinion.
I think not. Okay. It's great that kids want to play. It's better than being on the couch. In fact, it's a fantastic outdoor activity. I do like the fact that it does build up their skills and that there is some military, they call it MILSEM. I mean, that stuff is good. It's good for business. I have camis and boots and stuff like that. But let's not fool yourself. They're BBs. They're little plastic BBs that a bush protects you. There's no bullet in the world that a bush protects you. You know, there's no velocity to the game. It's a great game, but it's not military. And when kids come in here on a long, hard Saturday afternoon, and they're all full of mud, and they're roughed up, and they've got BB scars on their face, and they lean on the counter, and the guy goes, "How about you? I was shooting 16, or what do they call it, 6mm BBs today." "Oh, you were? Okay. Good." It's kind of hard for the real veterans that came back from Iraq and Afghanistan to sit there and, you know, buddy up with them and talk war stories.
Okay.
It's a kid's game.
I can certainly see that.
So now that I've dropped in sales, what else do we have?
No, Christmas. I want to know what you guys ate for Christmas dinner. What was the big Christmas
breakfast.
Meal? Oh, Christmas breakfast.
Homemade biscuits in a cast iron skillet that the father-in-law does.
Ooh.
The bacon, real homemade cream gravy, and potatoes, home fries.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was just that. That was Christmas breakfast. Was good.
No kimchi involved.
Well, yes. At night, Kim had already made in a pot pulled pork.
Mm-hmm.
So we had pulled pork, barbecue, and kimchi coleslaw sandwiches.
You really did. You always find a way to sneak that into your meals.
It was a sandwich with kimchi on it.
All right. What about you, Mike? What'd you eat?
So Christmas Day, we don't eat a whole lot. I mean, we have all this chocolate and stuff that we get in our stockings.
Right.
And there's plenty to eat there. But the night before, we followed the Italian tradition of having the seven fishes, except we didn't have seven fishes. We only had six fishes. But we managed to work in the six because we had scallops, we had mussels, we had shrimp, we had, there was no lobster, anchovies, and then bacala, if you know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a salted cod.
Okay.
And that's... It's like a firm white fish, but you have to soak it a real long time to get all the salt out of it. This is how they used to preserve fish years ago, before refrigeration and stuff like that. How about you?
Oh, so for the first year, we usually do ham, you know, the typical ham, mashed potatoes, corn, rolls. But I said, this year I'm going to do a prime rib, and I've never, ever cooked a prime rib. So local butcher and farm out here in Canandaigua butchered the cow on Thursday, and I was able to pick it up, my prime rib, on Friday.
Wow.
And it was amazing. I cooked it for 5 hours, slow cooked it like at 200, kept it low, took the juices, made au jus. I did whipped mashed potatoes with chives and sour cream. I did biscuits, vegetables, so it turned out really good. It was yummy. So first year doing prime rib, and we didn't have to order pizza. So I was excited that it was not a fail.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah. So it sounds like everybody had a yummy Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
What about you, Melissa?
We just had ham and turkey.
Just ham and turkey?
Both?
Both. Well, you know, that your typical, the mashed potatoes and gravy and the vegetables and fruit salad.
Sounds yum, but nobody had pickled eggs, so we're ready to go.
I did. Let's see. This week I brought in pickled eggs from a gas station in the city and pickled Polish sausage.
Is that supposed to be hot?
I have no idea. I'm not
Polish
brave enough to eat it yet.
Typically isn't hot.
Is not hot?
Is not hot.
Okay.
Polish.
Okay.
So the pickled egg, I've never had it, but you know, you always see it in the movies.
Right.
In the potteries, which I've been collecting.
Okay.
And they have the pickled eggs on the bar. And when I was younger, I remember the old men had pickled eggs. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't remember ever eating one. So I tried one from this, in this jar. And, you know, the egg on the inside is very dry. Of course, it's pickly. You know, flavored.
Right.
But there's a part of it where as you're biting into it, it's like rubber. It's not soft, but it's rubbery. And that you could almost go and just get rid of it. Just go. I'm no way. I'm not doing this. But I forced my way through it, ate the egg, and you know.
And probably liked it enough to bring it in and share it.
That's right.
Well, I brought it in for you guys to begin with, but I just had to try it this week.
Well, typically hard-boiled eggs have that consistency, right? They're kind of rubbery. So I would suspect that a pickled egg would be roughly the same, but I guess we'll see. We're going to try it later, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. All right.
I know. Really
that'll get even with Mike. Good.
So Tim,
we'll wait till Armin gets here.
Tim being a Marine, I brought a bottle of champagne. What do you call the swords that the Marines carry? Do they have a special name? You know, the ones you would carry on, like, your dress uniforms?
Ooh. Well, there's the NCO sword.
Okay.
And then the officers have a Marmaduke.
Ooh. So I'm not...
Marmaluke. I'm in so much trouble. I think it's Marmaluke.
Okay.
It's a famous sword from history. And that's my NCO sword up there on the wall.
Oh, so it's here.
Yep.
Oh, that's kind of perfect.
So are you expecting Tim to open
a
champagne
with
a
sword? You know?
How do you do that? You mean the old
chop? That's right.
Tina, yes. I'm not that coordinated.
I want to see it. No, it's like I have a real Marine in my midst. We have a
bunch of champagne. Only happens in the movies.
It's on my bucket list of things I want to see in my life. And I want to see a Marine with a Marine sword go,
wow, if you're a real man out there and you're a Marine and you know how to chop champagne bottles.
Come on down to Iron Mike.
With a sword, come down and rescue me because I have.
Right.
All I picture is glass shattering.
Right.
Champagne going all over the place.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
so you know, I once was going to get into a fight at a football field and I picked up a bottle. And I always heard this was stupid, but I never did it anyways. So I smashed the bottle. You know, and then you dare the guy, you know, hey, I'll get you. Well, this is exactly why that's all Hollywood crap, because as you smash the bottle, it smashed so close to my hand, I'm lucky that I didn't wind up hurting myself.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it just shatters, and then
it
cracks down, and you're going, wow, that's not a weapon at all.
No, yeah. Then you have, like, shards of glass in your own palm.
Right.
So,
yeah,
that's not good.
That's what I...
All right, so this...
It's a beautiful bottle of wine, or champagne.
Yeah, well, it's fake champagne. I don't know it's real champagne. I think it's sparkling wine.
It's not a... Cook's Brut?
Oh, it is. In fact, it's only called champagne if it's from the Champagne region of France. So that's a true champagne. Otherwise, it's called sparkling wine.
Is it alcoholic?
Oh, it is.
Oh, okay. Good.
Of course.
So we won't have much before getting back on the road.
No, not at all. Well, we have Uber.
Right.
We'll call Ubers.
Uber.
And this won't be open unless we have an able-handed Marine with his NCO sword to come down here and slice the top off. So we'll see what happens.
That's your chance. If you're a good-looking Marine, what would you say? 40?
Has to be
38?
Older than me. I'm 37. So
37?
Come on.
So this is your chance to be the knight in shining armor.
That's right. Come save Tina. Open up her champagne bottle. I'm the damsel in distress.
Well, let's move on to our main topic this week, which is going to be our recap of the stories of 2017 that made the news. Okay? So I went back through, and I'm telling you, there are thousands of postings on Canandaigua 2020, and I tried to pick out the top 10 stories. Okay, so story number one, and this is in no particular order because it was just too difficult to try to rank them from 1 to 10. But Josh Shaver passed away, and as we recall, Josh Shaver was a correctional officer who worked at the jail and was involved in an automobile accident and lost his life there.
And this was considered a line-of-duty death, Mike, right? Because
well,
it happened on his way home from work or on his
way
to work?
Again, it depends upon apparently who you talk to. Because if we recall, our city manager said that he did not die in the line of duty. And our city manager is no longer our city manager.
Yeah, yeah.
So apparently he's one of the few who thought that it was not a death in the line of duty. I think just about everybody else in the community felt it was.
So when I was involved in the emergency medical services, I wrote our agency's line of duty death protocol.
Okay.
And the state does recognize emergency services personnel, police, fire, EMS, if you are driving to work or from work, technically that's still included within your scope of work. So it, you know, is defined as a line of duty death.
Right.
But yeah, that was a huge one. They had lots of fundraisers, right?
Right.
I think the Back the Blue group here in Ontario County did a number of things to raise money for the family, and
right.
They got involved. Are they still doing things? Do you know?
I I'm sure there'll be other events that come up. I know they did do a GoFundMe account. They asked for $50,000 on the GoFundMe account. It was over $53,000 and like less than a week, I think. So
that was in the winter, wasn't it? When did
it would have been springtime.
Oh,
May 28th.
Okay.
So yeah.
Yeah. Nope, definitely. One of the sadder stories.
Right, and he left behind a widow and two young daughters.
Oh, that breaks my heart.
A very heartbreaking story. The second big story was the Nolan's fire. And that happened on the 13th of July. And we know since then, Nick Bios has, guaranteed that he intends to rebuild on the spot. He applied for a community development block grant of over $400,000. The rebuild is expected to cost about $1.6 million. It's going to be an expanded Nolan's from what was previously there. And there was some controversy about him getting the grant.
Sure.
But one of my predictions for 2018 is that Nolan's will be rebuilt and reopened in that year.
Well, and I think that's a great prediction and one I think we can count on. I know the Violas are really invested in the community and making sure the restaurant comes back. I love Nolan's. Oh, my goodness. One of my favorite restaurants in the area. But the block grant was controversial. So I think another prediction will be, is business going to be as it stands in that area on Lakeshore? So will McGregor's stay untouched and unchanged? Or because this block grant is going just to Nolan's, are they going to say something like, look, we're out. This isn't fair.
Yeah, we've already heard that.
Yeah, and I wouldn't blame them.
So, right.
So I hope that the rebuilding of Nolan's doesn't negatively impact other businesses in the area.
True. Okay, our third story that rose towards the top was the shooting at Pinnacle North. Mm. And Pinnacle North just opened their first segment. I mean, it's supposed to be five different
phases.
Mm-hmm. And this was the first phase that officially opened this year. And shortly after that happened, there was a call for a welfare check on one of their residents, Sandy Guardiola, who was a parole officer. The call was responded to by Sergeant Scott Cadian from the Canandaigua Police Department. When he arrived there, he found her to be unresponsive, went and called for emergency medical technician, went back in, and she raised a gun and fired it at him. And he took cover and eventually had to return fire, and it cost Sandy her life. So
one of the interesting things about that is in the wake of it, we immediately heard from, all these shock politicians, we'll call them, like the Reverend Al Sharpton, and let's come to Canandaigua and pick it, and this was wrong, or it was racially motivated. Ridiculous. It's kind of died down. We haven't heard much anymore.
Right.
At least I haven't. In the news, I know we're still pending a final investigation.
Well, they've come out with the final report with the exception of the toxicology.
Right. Not everything was released. And that takes so long.
Right. They're saying 6 months.
6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is ridiculous. It should take that long. But, again, I don't have the nursing or science background that you have. But they built a brand new lab up in Monroe County to handle these kinds of things.
I don't understand it either, honestly.
Okay.
Especially when it's an investigation. It's not a routine autopsy that you can wait a number of months for. It's unfortunate. Yeah, I don't know the reasons behind it. But
okay.
Yeah, it is what it is. But hopefully, that family and everybody else can just kind of move on. We can move on as a community. I think our police department locally did a great job at protecting us and making sure that someone who was perhaps unstable didn't go out into the community and hurt others.
Right.
And there's also the investigation part. They called for another investigation. But because it was already federal, they can't call for another one. Not only that. Something like that happened.
So, yeah, if a police officer shoots an unarmed citizen, there can be another investigation called.
Right.
But I think what the thing was is, A, she was armed, and
right.
she shot. and he returned fire. So, you know, no additional investigation needed. She kind of started this war.
Correct.
Which is sad and unfortunate, and who knows what else was to play there, whether it be mental instability or, you know, drugs. We were talking about toxicology earlier. But, yeah, I mean, she raised the gun. She fired first. So this officer was doing what he needed to do to protect himself and protect us.
Right. And, you know, one of the criticisms that the city took was that they didn't immediately release the name of the police officer who was involved in the shooting. And it was early on reported that it was a 30-year veteran with the Canandaigua Police Department.
30 or 13?
13. Okay, 13.
Yeah.
But there's not very many police officers who fit that description. So it was pretty easy for people who know the police community here in Canandaigua to determine who it was that fired the shots.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think it was ridiculous on the part of the city to attempt to cover that up. I think that should have come out earlier, should have been, you know, just part of the routine, you know, this is what happened type of thing. So,
yeah. I can see your side, Mike. I also see the other side of it, too, though, whereas this police officer probably lives locally. You need to respect his privacy until we have facts straight to release to the community, because I think it would be easy for folks to jump to conclusions and not having all the facts. I don't know. You know, I'm not upset at all that they didn't release the police officer's name right away. It didn't impact me as someone living in the town, even if I lived in the city. It doesn't matter. Somebody was doing their job to protect me, whether his name was John or her name was Sally. It's not going to make a difference to me. They were doing their job. So
yeah. Okay. Moving on, another top story was Ted Andrzejewski was put on leave.
Yeah.
And he was the city manager who, at the time of the death of Josh Shaver, said that he did not feel that the fire trucks should have been used to honor Josh.
Oh, my gosh.
And this was so upsetting to me that I wrote I made a call for his resignation the day prior to the funeral services for Josh. What I didn't know at the time was that city council was already planning on letting him go. And I wish I had known that. I would have waited to make the call.
I think you spoke on behalf of a lot of residents, though, because this was, I think, the straw that broke the camel's back. There were a number of questionable decisions or things said by this man throughout his tenure at the city. So I think when Mr. Shaver died and the whole thing came out about using fire trucks to honor his memory, I think everybody just sat back and said, are you kidding me? This is ridiculous.
Right.
So.
Right. So one of the decisions he made, or one of the options he came forth with, was putting billboards in the park. And that was shot down almost right away.
Thank goodness.
But he was like, you know, this will be good. It'll generate money for the city. And I was like, well, okay, I see where you're coming from. I don't want to destroy my parks by, you know, having
right.
all these billboards put up. But I understand where you're coming from. He also let the fire chief go, Mark Marantette. And that was a decision that I did not agree with. Now, I went to the hearings that they had for Mark Marantette, and I heard the city lay out its case. And again, I felt there was no real case here. Now, so far, the courts have not agreed with me. But it's still, that story is still tied up in the courts, and we expect probably a resolution to that in 2018. And so that's another one of my predictions for next year, is that we will see a decision on this Mark Marantette suspension. And what I suspect is going to happen is that he will be absolved of any, like he was charged with incompetence and misconduct, something like that. I think he'll be absolved of those charges, but I don't think he'll ever be reinstated as chief in Canandaigua.
Those are pretty general claims,
mm-hmm.
You know, when you're saying that someone is incompetent or something along those lines. This whole investigation to him has, I think, been shrouded in secrecy for some reason. And given the fact it's a personnel matter, we can't know everything, and I don't expect to. We don't need to know the details, but give us a little bit more. I mean, this is our fire department. It's a municipality. I think we have a right to know a few things. And just saying, hey, this guy wasn't good at his job, and now it's at the court level, you know, what's going on? So that's another big story from this past year, and you're right, the resolution coming up this next year is going to be huge.
Right.
One of our local listeners, Jennifer, said that the city manager was unreal and doesn't make sense what he had done.
Yeah, and I think that was pretty much the feelings of the community. And that's why I called for his resignation, and that's why city council took action to suspend him.
And since then, I don't know Mark, but I know Ben Kramer, the interim fire chief that stepped in. He did an amazing job.
He really did.
The guys loved him, extremely competent, really knew what he was doing, open to the community. He did a great job. I'm not familiar with the new chief that they put in place now, but it seems like things are going okay there. So hopefully we can pull out of this and move forward, but unfortunate for Mr. Marentette.
Right. And I have to say, you know, the fact that Ben Kramer was able to do his job so effectively has to speak to the competency of Mark Marentette. You know, he was the one who Ben was serving under him.
No doubt.
And so Mark made sure that there were people who could step into his shoes if necessary. And that's what a good fireman does.
And a good leader. Absolutely.
Right. And a good leader. So moving on. I think another big story had to be Ritz versus Carley.
That was a big one.
What do you?
I think it was big.
Yeah.
I think it did a lot for to bring out a good view of both candidates. And, of course, there was the debate.
Yeah.
And the debate was probably a life moment for us, you know, to be involved to that extent. And, you know, meeting both candidates on that level, having them both on the radio show, that was good. And it was a hard-fought battle. I think it could have gone either way, but the victor was Jim Ritz.
So two extremely different candidates with two different viewpoints, but both that had such a love for our county. And one of the things I think we're really fortunate for is we had two good, strong people, and it was tough. I mean, it was a very close race in the primary and even in the general. So to know that we have folks that are looking to represent us, that are very good at what they do, it's not like we have one person that's okay and one person that's so-so. We had two really strong candidates. We have something to be proud of here in Ontario County, both of Kitty Carley and Jim Ritz.
Right, and I think I learned more about the district attorney's office and what the district attorney does than I ever knew previously.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing. I think many in the community learned a lot more about the district attorney's office, and I think we're all stronger and better for that.
I agree with you. And coming up, so Michael Tantillo is now stepping down after 28 years as DA.
Right.
Something like 39 years as a prosecutor.
Right.
So he's been in this position for a really long time. Jim Ritz has worked side by side with him, and it sounds like he's ready to turn over the reins. He still wants to stay practicing law,
There was a news story this week in the Democrat and Chronicle talking about how he would like to keep doing some prosecutions even into the future. And he's talking on a part-time basis. He has two very young grandchildren, like I do. He's anxious to spend time visiting them and like that, spending more time with them, as I want to do with my grandchildren. So, you know, we wish him all the best. And I hope he does stay, you know, at least part-time as a prosecutor somewhere, because I think he's a very talented individual.
I agree.
It's not going to be here. Or it'll be in the area.
Potentially it could be, but he has... Oh, no?
No. I got scoop.
Okay.
It'll be in the area, just not right here.
Okay.
You heard it here first.
Okay. Okay, I think another great story this year was the Milliman House. as many of our listeners know, the Millimans are a family that live on Pleasant Street. And they got duped by contractors for over $40,000. They paid two contractors to do work on their house. The contractors showed up, did a little bit of work, opened up the house to the weather, and then left. And left them high and dry. And poor Becky and Jim didn't know where to turn. And so they turned to Candago 2020. They posted on their story, and they said, "We don't know what to do. Help." Right? Well, the community came out and helped. I'm telling you, I can't name everybody that showed up there, but there were contractors who showed up and donated their services, donated some lumber they had sitting around, whatever, and they put up a shell of the house for an expansion of 3 bedrooms. And the whole reason this family needs this is because they are trying to take care of their own grandchildren. Their children have problems with drugs, and so they're trying to adopt the grandchildren, but they won't allow the adoption without additional bedrooms for the kids. So these bedrooms were badly needed. So the contractors came, they put up the shell. There were 3 of us electricians, myself one of them. And
you're an electrician?
I'll be the first to admit I was the one who did the least amount of work there. But the fact that you have 3 electricians show up on a job, you know, gratis, is something in and of itself. And the other 2 guys have spent the most time over there. And they've done far more than electrical work. They've done carpentry and plumbing and whatever else is necessary, and they didn't stop at just putting the extension onto the house. They went through and corrected a lot of the errors that were in the house. Like, the house was opened up to weather, so you've got wet insulation and things like that. They pulled that wet insulation out, they replaced that, put up new drywall. Not bad for a couple electricians, I'll tell you.
Not at all. No, and that's tremendous. What a feel-good story
right.
to close out this year.
Right.
Knowing that we have people willing to give back like that of their time and of their profession, taking away time from their own family to do this for people
right.
in need.
And there were people who donated new fencing to put around in the backyard, because we kind of tore up the backyard a little bit, having to store up all of our construction equipment back there and ladders and things of that nature. Proctor came in, they put a new roof on there for them. I mean, it was just a tremendous outreaching by the community to help this family out. And the last I heard, they were having problems with the IRS because the IRS is saying, well, those donated services amount to income.
Oh, boy.
Right? So they're in the process of battling that out right now.
So a further update on that, Mike, do we know if the grandchildren were able to be adopted and if the contractor that previously left the house open was ever, you know, charged?
Okay, so the contractors were charged. There was a judgment in favor of the Millmans in that case. Of course, having a judgment and being able to collect on it are 2 different things.
Sure.
So that's something that they're working on. And also the grandchildren is still a work in progress in terms of the adoption.
Okay. Well, hopefully that works out for them.
Well, again, my prediction 2018 is that that does come through.
I'll go with you on that.
All right. Next big news story is Noah's Blessing Box.
Aww.
And not only is it a blessing box, but it's also expanded to be a scarf tree, right? So you go there and you see a tree and it's got scarves hanging down and it's got gloves and hats.
I should have stopped there on the way
you,
here.
Yeah. Anything you need to survive this cold weather. So that has been a story that's been running. And I actually helped dig the location for the original blessing box. And then the city says, no, you can't put that there. So the city came in and moved the blessing box for him because Jeff and I, we aren't young bucks anymore, and it was a chore to get the original hole dug for the box, and the city said, oh, yeah, put it anywhere, and then when we did, oh, no, not there. So
anywhere but here.
Right. So they did come in, and they moved it for them. It's still at 99 Chapin Street. There's actually a second blessing box that has popped up on West Avenue, and we expect that there will be, and again, here's another prediction for 2018, that there will be more blessing boxes popping up in the city of Canandaigua.
That's really neat, and that's really special. And what a great tribute to Noah.
Right.
You know, the son that they lost.
Right.
His name, you know, goes on forever and ever, and now part of this community, helping other people. What better legacy could you leave for a child? So,
absolutely.
I love it.
Yep.
Heartwarming.
Okay. Next big story was the birdcage. Okay. And actually, the news in 2017 started out at the birdcage because there was an attempted suicide. And the police department and fire department were called out. They were able to prevent the young man, 21 years old, from committing suicide. And then over the course of the year, several things happened. One was that they had a person come in claiming to speak for the developer saying, well, banks aren't going to finance a hotel, so we want to convert this all to residential units, all to rentals. And the city looked at that proposal and said, "Nah, we don't think so. We've always wanted a hotel there. We're not going to approve that." And it would be competition with the Pinnacle North. So that got turned down. And then they came back and they said, "Oh, let us put in 44 docks so that all of our condo owners can have a dock to themselves for their motorboats or whatever." And this was one I was very passionate about because I felt that that was a poor use of that end of the lake to cover it up with all these docks. And I mean, we already had 30 plus docks right there in that area that weren't owned by the hotel. And to put 44 more in was just ridiculous. So thankfully that also got turned down. Now we're hearing that sometime at the very beginning of January of 2018, we've got two trains running into a station, right? One train is the developer saying, "Oh, we'll have financing," and the other train is the contractors who have worked their way through the courts. They've got a settlement, and they are putting the birdcage up for auction and want to get their monies back from it. So depending upon whose train reaches the station first, and here's my prediction. My prediction is that the birdcage will go to auction.
I'm going with the same prediction because
really?
We agree on something.
Okay, good.
No, is it a full moon? No, so $3 million owned in back liens,
right.
Just about $429,000 roughly owed to the city in back taxes, and Bob Murphy and David Janeco, the co-developers of the project, saying that they are able to secure, think they'll be able to secure $30 million in additional financing to complete the project by January 3rd. So you have less than a week to make that happen. They've had years to make this happen,
right.
And it hasn't. So I agree with you. I think it's going up on the auction block.
Good.
You going to put in a bid, Tim? You should put in a bid.
A bid?
Yeah.
I got 20 bucks.
Oh, perfect.
What's the scrap value?
Oh, that's true. Of all that steel?
I just scrap it and let somebody else start over.
Now, for me, poetic justice would be if the property ended up back in the hands of Dan Homick. And if you remember, Dan Homick is a developer who used to own that property. And the city came in, they used eminent domain, which to me is a theft of property. They took the property from him, took a little section for the city, added to their park, and gave the rest, sold the rest to David Janeco so that he could build this big project.
Did Homick get paid at all?
Homick did get paid. He felt he was not paid enough. That went to the courts. The courts agreed with Dan that he was not paid enough. So it wasn't the city that ended up paying him the additional amount. It was David Janeco who ended up paying him the additional amount that the court said he was due.
And that was probably an agreement between Janeco and the city that
That's
he was
correct.
The one to pay, because when it comes to eminent domain, I believe you just have to pay what the fair assessed value is of the property at the time, which was probably much lower than, you know.
Oh, I'm sure it's lower now.
Developed. I'm sure it's very low right now.
It's dragging the price right down out there.
Right.
They should get a pilot agreement, like Pinnacle North.
Oh, don't start, because they are working in that direction.
Yeah.
So, yep, they already have been in talks with the Industrial Development Agency in Ontario County, and we anticipate probably in 2018, if it does remain in the hands of the developers, it will probably see some type of pilot agreement requests come through.
I feel that we have set some dangerous precedent in allowing the pilot agreement to move forward with Pinnacle North. Understandably, in order to maintain development in that area for the project that they anticipated, they needed to do something. But how do you say no to the next person that wants it, and the next, and the next? It's going to be incredibly difficult.
Right. I agree with that. And fortunately, we have had some changes on city council. We don't know if that's going to make much of a difference, but, you know.
We'll see.
We'll wait and see.
Absolutely.
And number 10 story for this year would be Mark Marantette, the fire chief. And we've kind of already talked about that because it went into the story about the city manager. So, again, my prediction is that he will be absolved of any misconduct or anything like that, and he will not get his position back.
Yeah.
So
I think that's pretty solid, a pretty solid prediction. Were those your top stories, Mike?
Those were the top 10 stories I had.
So for this past week, like I said, kind of slow when it came to Ontario County or Canandaigua news, but there were a few things that came out. So this county and tax prepaying of your bill, and I'm sure Armand is going to be covering this in Civil War Radio, but the city and town has both said, hey, you can look at your 2018 bill online, and if you want to pay ahead of time, you can. So I know we'll go into that a little earlier. I talked to my accountant yesterday. I'm going to be paying my taxes today, but it's not for everybody, so... You want to jump in now? Oh, no. He's giving me a look. He's like, do not pay the taxes. Do not pay the taxes.
Well, right. Again, best advice is talk to your accountants. Yes. See what your accountants advise you.
That's so. Right. Everybody's tax situation is different, right, Aaron?
Right. That's right. Do you want me to jump in now, or do you want me to hold off for a little bit?
No, no, wait. Let's finish the 3 minutes of the microphone.
Okay, perfect. I heard somebody complained about children caroling at 80 Parrish Street. Did you hear that?
Yes, I did.
Who complains about children singing Christmas songs?
Well, who complains about people complaining about children? You know, here's the thing. 80 Parrish Street is usually mostly your senior citizens,
right? It's an apartment
right?
complex, for those right. who don't know. Yeah.
Right. And it's mostly senior citizens, and these senior citizens have lived long, hard lives, right? Some of them are in extreme pain every day from arthritis, things like this. It's tough to be in a good
mood
all the time.
Sounds like you can really identify, Mike.
I do. I'm telling you, I'm going to be the old man that's yelling at the kids to get
no,
off his grant. Oh,
no,
I'm telling you, that's me to the T.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, goodness. I don't want to hear caroling.
Right.
Are
I love,
you guys kidding
I,
me?
No,
you...
I love caroling, okay? But.
Oh, he does.
Well, I do. I like singing, especially if it's good singing. You know, my voice.
They're kids, don't you think? All right, guys, this is unbelievable.
You know, I once sat in front of a girlfriend. I said to somebody else, I said, you know, I love the sound of children laughing. And she spun her head around and looked at me and she goes, oh, no, you don't. They go, okay, you're probably right.
But is there, I'm not even going to go down that path with you guys. You are Grinches.
We are Grinches. I'm a Grinch.
I'm disappointed.
Mike's
I'm disappointed in both of you.
No, I'm telling you, I love that kids carol and things like that, right? But don't expect everybody to love it.
Oh, well, if you don't love it, go in your apartment and close your door. Don't stand out and complain.
Get in that wheelchair. Get back inside your assisted living. Go find that room where they give you the meds and stop complaining.
And take your meds, right?
Take your meds.
That's what my wife tells me every day. Take your meds.
Oh, boy.
No, I'm going to start calling you Mr. Wilson because...
There you go. Right.
Menace. And... Was this something that was scheduled, or did they just pop in and, hey, we're going to start singing today and annoying people? But I do like carolers, too, so I have to agree with Tina.
We used to go caroling, and we'd go up to the assisted living place in Fairport. And you know what? I remember the old people kind of watching us. And
then the Baptist home?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also kind of going, yay.
Well, right.
Because, you know, there's other things to be doing here. I don't know. It was okay. I was actually thinking about caroling this year, but...
And you were just poo-pooing it. I cannot believe
No,
this.
I wasn't going to do it myself. I was going to ask Melissa and her kids to do a joke caroling on a friend of mine who... Anyways, I never did it, so...
Well, you're going to get my kids involved with your little jokes.
Just have them go out there and annoy this guy singing, you know... Maybe, you know, something like that. It's all good. I'm sure there's, of course, I love kids and caroling.
April Fool's is coming
I can tell.
Up, so.
I can totally tell. So some other people on Canandaigua 2020 were looking for things to do on Christmas break with kids and grandkids. What
right.
do you do around here? So people were starting to make a list, and I thought it might be fun to run down a few of the things that people came up with and see if anybody else had ideas. Ice skating at the Civic Center.
Right.
I heard that's a hot thing to do.
Right.
I've never even been to the Civic Center.
You
I need
have
to get
not?
I have not.
Wow.
I don't know how to ice skate.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So I'm not sure what else I would do there.
Okay. So in the summer months, they have, like, the Wood Library a lot of times has their book sales there because it's a huge facility. So you can go and, you know, get used books and things like that.
Okay.
They also have various, I'm going to call them knick-knack shows.
Oh, sure. Like festivals. They have one in the spring that I think benefits the Thompson Guild at the
right.
hospital.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right.
Springtime
so you can go, and I think they charge you like $5 to get in, and there's a whole all sorts of vendors there that
right.
you can visit. So.
And according to Ken Fletcher, they're going to have a hobby horse competition, I think,
right?
there, right?
right.
So who knows? Lots of reasons to visit the Civic Center. People talked about Roseland Bowl. There's an arcade there. You
right.
can do bumper cars, laser tag. I took my nephews there last year. I had them overnight, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do for all this time? And we went, and we had a blast. They thought it was the greatest time, and it is. It's a lot of fun. It's clean. It's safe. Nice family environment. So Roseland Bowl for sure. People mentioned sledding.
Right.
Where do you guys go sledding around here?
So when I was a kid, there's a hill over at Evans Field.
Okay.
And it's not a very big hill, and it's really a good kid-friendly hill. Okay, probably 5-6-year-olds, things like that. Easy, and then they have wooden steps that you can climb up to get back up to the top to go sliding back down again. So it's a little easier than having to climb back up a snowy hill.
Neat.
So that's one possibility.
I'm the one that actually posted that. I'm Canandaigua 2020 because being new here and everything. We ended up going to Mertensia, and that was actually really, really fun going down there. And a whole bunch of kids were there tubing as well as sledding. And yeah.
And how large is that hill? Is it kid-friendly? Or
get in front of the mic.
It's very kid-friendly. They have another part that's closer to the street there in Mertensia that I wouldn't suggest the little kids going there unless there's an adult because it's so close to the guardrail and everything. But that goes super fast down the hill into the soccer fields.
Okay. Other people mentioned the YMCA, that there are things going on. I know they always have programs and events throughout the week, especially when vacations are planned. So lots of things for people to do with their families. What else? What else, Mike?
Okay, so Strong Museum of Play is always a big
one.
It's
outside of Ontario County.
Yes, you do have to go up to Rochester for it, but let's face it, that's a great place to go if you have kids and they have the butterfly house or whatever they call that thing up there, too, is a part of that. So,
what about my picture of the Goose Poop Park back here where the kids were,
right.
Kids were ice skating, playing ice hockey?
Right, and the weather's certainly been cooperative when it comes to playing ice hockey and things of that nature.
Yeah, and it's rare that you get this kind of freeze where you can be on the ice and not have to worry about it. I mean, you should always worry. But there's probably a lot of ice stuff right now, snowmobiling, deer hunting. I guess you could take your kids deer hunting. You could take them snowmobiling.
You can, right?
Right, yeah.
No, those are all good things. So with New Year's Eve coming up, I know there are a few places around here that are holding New Year's Eve events. What are you guys doing for New Year's?
In bed by 9.
Really? You don't watch the ball drop or anything? Special dinner?
I might get lucky.
What?
Once a year. That might be my year. It might be my year. I don't know.
That's a great way to start off the new year, right?
I guess. That's a family show here, Tim. Okay. All right. That's one way to do it.
So I'll be down in Baltimore visiting with my daughter. We'll be ringing in the new year down there. The day before that, on New Year's Eve, I'll be down visiting the grandkids and, you know, get to spend the day with them. And this will be the first chance we've had to see them since Christmas. So we'll be bringing all of our Christmas gifts down and, you know, celebrating our Christmas at that time as well. So, and I'm hoping it's going to be a little warmer in Baltimore than what they're forecasting for in this area.
Oh, that'll be fun. It sounds like a great time. I know there's a lot of concerns in New York City right now about terrorists. So ISIS has recently put out an edict to folks saying, hey, go after the drunk revelers celebrating New Year's Eve and, you know, kind of take them out, which is sad and unfortunate. So the terrorism alert right now is super high. There's going to be a lot more security and police forces, as there typically are in Times Square in New York City. But I know some people are concerned about that.
Wow.
Okay. So I want to run down some of the other odd news, and I'm just calling it odd news because it didn't fit into other categories that we had. But things like the solar eclipse was a big story this year, right? Everybody was looking for solar glasses and things of that nature. Canandaigua Rocks was a big story.
That was a good one.
Right? That started out as, I think, Tampa Rocks was where it first began, but it spread all across the country, and people are painting rocks and hiding them, and other people are finding them. Captain Jack was a local story about a duck that had a growth on the side of his head, and he passed away.
On City Pier.
Right, on City Pier. He passed away, but that was a story that got a lot of comments. Ethan Owens completed his scout project, which was building the kayak racks down at Kershaw. And, of course, Judge Estacio right? It took up quite a few headlines this year. So those were our top stories from 2017. You've heard my predictions for 2018. Anybody else have any other predictions for the next year?
You know, no predictions, but hope. I'm hopeful it's a good year for the town, for the city, for the county in general. You know, I think we've had a good year, but there's been a lot of issues, like we've talked about. And nothing's ever perfect. I'm not saying it should be utopia, but at the same time, I'd just like to see a good start to 2018. Hopefully it'll be a good one.
Is the governor race in 2018? Does it get resolved?
Yeah, so November of 2018.
And we know Brian Kolb locally has thrown his hat in the ring.
So interestingly enough, he has said, because we know in Syracuse there's another gentleman, another Republican,
right,
that wants to make a run at it. So Brian kind of backed himself in a corner this week and said that coming out of convention, he thinks the Republicans need to decide on one candidate to move forward. He doesn't want to take it to primary.
Right.
So hopefully he will be the stronger candidate and the one that the Republicans put forward. If it forces a primary, it does. I'm not sure if Brian will move forward at that point. The way that the article was written, it sounded like he didn't want to. But we'll see.
Well, so Brian, I think, is one of these all or nothing guys, right? You're either doing this or you're not. And he's saying, not only am I doing it, I intend to have the support of all the Republicans in the state, and there will be no Republican primary. And, you know, he hopes to have that, all that resolved, and I'm hopeful that he's right.
I'm sure it's a waste of money to go for the primary.
It is a drain.
And then, you know, and then you win or you lose. But, you know, he's right in wondering if they're really going to back him because of the way the Republican Party treated Astorino. So, saying that, but I would still say we as citizens should have the right to a primary, or as Republicans or whatever. We definitely, I would say we want that. But I understand his point, because there's only so much money, and you waste it all in the primary, and then you need that money to go after Buffalo and downstate.
But that's up to the individual candidates.
Right.
You know, to spend their money if they want to spend it on a primary.
If you win the primary, you get the money from the Republican Party.
Then you get that official endorsement.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Right. And yours truly is now a voting member on who the Conservative Party backs.
Wow.
I have a voting. I get to vote.
They trust you with that kind of power?
For zone two, what they say.
Okay.
Which is probably between here and Huron Park. Me and the goose. Geese.
And they chose you over the goose.
I want to talk about Cuomo real quick, though.
Okay.
As he was brought up and we were talking about some of the things the governor is doing, he is asking that minimum wage be raised to $11 an hour for tipped workers, servers. And apparently I'm taking thunder away from Civil War Radio.
No, right.
Okay,
you're
just
right.
Making sure. I think it's outrageous. I think it's one or the other. What do you guys think? I mean, do you think that these minimum wage workers that are servers getting tips should be making the same as people not getting tips?
I don't think the government should be making that decision. Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, we do have a minimum wage, and even that I don't think is necessary, okay? But when it was instituted, they felt it was necessary. They keep raising it. So that's my opinion.
Okay. Well, that's our year's prediction for Three Men and a Microphone and soon to be 2018. Thank you very much, Tina.
Thank you.
Hope we break into the champagne. And Mike, Melissa, and Armin Marinetti.
Perfect. Cheers. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
What's the matter, Cupcake? Winter's here, and all you have to look forward to is yellow snow. That Einstein you're dating wants to know where the white goes when the snow melts? Thinking of all the fun you'll have schlepping home at 20 miles an hour? Car won't start, mud, slush, salt, traffic accidents, shoveling, brushing, and wading through a snowdrift just to check the mail? Your boots leak and you only have one glove and it's stuck? Frozen wipers, locks, fingers, toes, and noses. Hey, at Iron Mike's, the Military Exchange, we agree. Winter sucks. So let us help you bear the frozen tundra that is upstate New York. The Military Exchange has everything you'll ever need to kick the crap out of old man winter.
You bastard.
Warm hats, caps, gloves, socks, long underwear, PolyPro, thermal, Wiki, and Super Wiki, Gore-Tex insulates, wool, jackets, parkas, pants, and boots. There's lots of fun things to do in the snow, but none of it's fun unless you gear up at Iron Mike's The Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Stop in and see Corporal Thornton. He'll even show you how to write your name in the snow.
Great googly moogly.
Tune in every Saturday morning, 8 to 10 a.m., for three men and a microphone and a lady. Hear all about local news, politics, fishing report, and sports, as well as all the talk about town and the scuttlebutt in the city. To keep up on the show, stay connected and visit us on Facebook at Canandaigua 1310, Three Men and a Microphone. Presented each week, Saturday 8 to 10 a.m. and Sunday afternoons at 2 p.m. Sponsored by the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. And to catch up on past episodes, go to IronMikesMX.com or WOKR 1310. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back with Hour 2 of Three Men and a Microphone, WOKR, Canandaigua, 1310, first in local news, right after these messages.